Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true,
whatever is noble, whatever is right,
whatever is pure, whatever is lovely,
whatever is admirable,
if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Whatever you have learned,
or received, or heard from me,
or seen in me, put it into practice,
and the God of peace will be with you.
You guys got to... Hey, good morning, everybody. Great, great to be with you. I'm stretching my neck as we come live. Hey, everybody. So excited, again, that we're going to next week get to be with you in person. Those that are able to come also just want to affirm that those of you that will continue live stream, we believe that's also deeply meaningful, and we're so glad for your participation in live stream as well. So however you will be joining us, we are so grateful to have that time with you. One of my absolute favorite things in life, just most enjoyable activities for me, is to play strategy games. I love playing board games. The more complicated, the better. And my absolute favorite game ever is called Axis and Allies. Axis and Allies has been described as like Risk on steroids. It is a far more complicated game. It takes up the whole table. There's just all these different pieces. And it's a simulation of World War II. But almost nobody I know knows how to play it. Just some of my old college buddies, we used to just stay up, you know, all night for days on end playing this game. We just absolutely love this game, but I can never find anyone to play with. Well, recently, I found that there is another person in our church that also shares my love for this game, Axis and Allies. His name is Ricky Kaplan. Turns out in his early days also loved the game, play with everyone. We both feel very cocky about our skills in this game, such that the people we used to play with won't play with us anymore, and now no one will play with us. So it was just this amazing connection. You love Axis and Allies, I love Axis and Allies, and so we engineered a time for us to actually get to play this game that we haven't gotten to play, each of us independently, you know, for a decade. So we got the families together, and we're like, all right, we're going to play Axis and Allies, and we set up the game sometime in the late afternoon, early evening, and we just disappeared into our own world. So the kids are around trying to talk to us. We just block them out. Our wives tried to talk to us. It was like literally my beautiful, amazing wife, Joy, that I love so much, is standing right next to me. And it's like, I can't even hear what she's saying. I'm looking at her. I don't even know what she is saying because my mind is completely focused on this game. And she just kind of gave up. Everyone gave up, which was actually fine with Ricky and I. That's what we were hoping, is we could just absolutely, it's our moment to focus on this game. So we became totally consumed by our strategic calculations, right? And I'm thinking, now you should know that I chose to play America. Well, Ricky, you know, he chose the bad guys. So, you know, what does that tell you? So I was absolutely totally focused on thinking about, you know, how many ships should I leave to defend Pearl Harbor? Am I ready for the D-Day invasion of Western Europe? Should I invest in factories or transport ships, artillery or fighters? And I am just in that world. Hours passed unnoticed. We began maybe sometime around 7 p.m. Pretty soon it's 4 a.m. Okay, and we have been playing for 9 hours straight with no end in sight. And we finally, through just weary eyes, look at each other and say, well, do you want to call it a draw? Now, honestly, I feel like this was a gift that I gave Ricky, because I'm sure that I would have won. I felt like I was just on the verge of absolute domination, though you couldn't clearly see it on the board. We all know what was going to happen. I felt like giving him a draw was just a gift to him to keep him from pouting. So we decided, okay, let's go to sleep. But for 9 hours, I had a total, absolute, my every faculty of my being was focused on one goal: destroy Ricky Kaplan, save the world. Okay, I'm gonna get a T-shirt that says that. I think that would be a great T-shirt. So all the next day, every time I close my eyes, I'm seeing the game pieces in my mind. I'm closing my eyes. I'm like, again, trying to talk to my wife, but I'm seeing artillery pieces, you know. That is how absolutely focused my mind was for those 9 hours. I wish that I could focus my mind on other areas of my life like I can focus on Axis and Allies. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if I could read my Bible like I play Axis and Allies? Like, or if I could pray like that, that I just would start sometime in the early evening. The next thing I know, it's 4 a.m. My gosh, I've been reading my Bible and praying so much, having such a great time. I mean, think how amazing my sermons would be if I had that level of spiritual concentration. Wow, what a pastor. But, you know, that's not exactly where I'm at. But maybe someday I will attain that level of focus and concentration. Our scripture today, Philippians, look how much concentration I have. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul encourages us to focus our mind on certain things. There's around 15 Greek words that can loosely be translated think. The word that he specifically uses in this text is logizomai, similar to the word logos. And in this context, what it means is to continually focus your mind, to give your full critical attention to something, to reflect carefully in an action-provoking kind of meditation, like that level of like absolute focus. I think similar to how I focused on that game Axis and Allies, that's the level of engagement we're supposed to give to certain things. Now, you might normally think that what he's going to talk about is scripture here, and that absolutely would be a great thing for us to focus on, and other texts speak of that. But in this context in particular, is speaking about a list of things, virtuous things, to fill our minds with this virtuous list of things, and the end result is going to be that we experience more of the God of peace being with us. Paul tells us to focus our attention, our meditation, our input, our mental engagement on certain things. Before we dive into what that list is and what those virtues are, let's take a moment to be honest about what our focus currently is on. What do we spend time thinking about? Well, we are 5.5 months into this maddening, crazy pandemic. We are 5 months into total life disruption by the evil destroyer of all fun, known as the coronavirus. 5 months, my goodness. And we've been cut off from so much human contact that many of us have spent a lot more time online. You got a show of hands? Can I get amen? Anybody spent more time online than you used to? So what do we do when we're online? Well, I think one thing we really do is we binge watch. We watch shows for endless hours on Netflix or Hulu, Disney Plus. Some of you even watch something old-fashioned called television. This is broadcast through the air. Amazing. I watch way too many YouTube videos. I mean, I'm sure my wife is laughing at saying amen at home. I spend too much time on YouTube. I watch funny animal videos with my kids. That's pretty great. I watch practical joke videos. This was like, if YouTube was around when I was in college, that would have been my life calling. So thank you, Lord, for sparing me that. I watch sports highlight videos, endless hours of mind-numbing content. Then I run around the house asking if anybody will let me tell them about the videos that I have just watched. I also spend way too much time on Facebook. If you don't know what Facebook is, it's basically a way for people to brag about their vacations to make everyone else jealous. Another popular use is to talk about politics in an angry way so as to lose all of your friends. A third use is to post pictures of your cat. You get to choose your content. So many of us have been doing that for a few months, and it takes up a lot of our brain space. Something else that I learned during this pandemic is that you can never get to the end of the internet. There's always more content. So when I'm really tired or really stressed, I find myself just randomly reading whatever the internet puts in front of me. I start off reading news or checking Facebook notifications. The next thing I know, I'm trying to save an endangered marsupial in Nebraska. Then I'm catching up with the latest Russian spy scandal in Tajikistan. Then I'm, you know, catching up on the phase 3 vaccine trials in India. One thing that I have learned about passively roaming the internet is that it never leads you to higher level content. You don't start off reading the news and you end up reading the philosophy of Aristotle or the sonnets of Shakespeare. That has never happened to me. Instead, we end up reading about the Kardashians and Beyonce and the latest scandal with the royal family. You end up in cheap clickbait articles about celebrity divorces, red carpet outfits, and political propaganda and shenanigans. The content, as time goes by, gets more and more base and vulgar and cheap until we finally snap out of it and say, whoa, where has the time gone? That has been a total waste of my time. And our minds feel like mush, and we feel inside the less for having spent our time in such a way. This is what we have spent our time, our meditation, the focus of our mind on, and it leaves us feeling, at least, very least, unsatisfied and possibly dirty and debased from some of the things that we have encountered in this time. But we see an alternative in this scripture. There is an alternative. There's a different way to engage with the world. And we see at the end of this verse that the end result of this different engagement is this knowledge of the presence of the God of peace in our lives, which really, to be honest, that sounds pretty great to me. This is an anxious time. There's a lot to be stressed about. I wake up and sometimes, and I woke up the other day and had a church nightmare about total chaos. I mean, we carry anxiety. The God of peace being with us, that sounds good to me. So I want to pay close attention in my life to what this scripture says. Well, Paul says to engage our mind, our meditation, our thought on this. He says, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Look at that list. I'll just kind of take it a word at a time. These are not, it's best to think of these words not as like clearly differentiated individual virtues, but sort of a collection of adjectives that all generally point towards the same thing. But I'll take them one by one so that we know what it is that we can focus our minds on. First, the word is whatever is true. Now that might be a very difficult thing for us to think about. You know, what does that mean? Like, read the encyclopedia. I mean, I don't even know if they still make those. But do you read just all true facts? Well, in this case, what the word means is whatever is truthful, whatever is honest. If you think about the voices in your life, the voices that you have access to, are some of them more honest than others? Do some of them spin and exaggerate or deceive, and others will be straight up with you? Well, he's saying focus your mind and attention on the more truthful voices in your life. Do you have a friend that will actually speak honest truth to you? Do you have news sources that bring you truth? Focus on those things. Search for truthfulness in your life. Second, this word that's translated NIV as noble, this is actually a difficult word to translate from Greek into English, and you see it's one of the ones in different translations that changes quite a bit. And the NIV says noble. Other translations could be honorable or worthy of respect, which we think of as actually being similar to noble. Noble, honorable, worthy of respect. There's another sense of this word, though. It's always used in connection to the sacred. And so another understanding and sort of a connotation of the word is that it commands reverence and awe. This is a word that lifts our sights to lofty things, majestic things. This is a word that lifts our mind from the cheap and the tawdry to that which is awe-inspiring. This word could be translated awesome. Okay. Now, my dad, when we were kids, he hated how much we kids used the word awesome. We used the word awesome to describe our shoes, the latest video game, our tacos. And my dad would get so mad. That's not awesome. That's not what the taco is not awesome, you know. And then he would take us on these just epic vacations to see the Grand Canyon and the Grand Tetons and, you know, the Glacier National Park. And he'd say, that is awesome. You know, stop calling your tacos or your shoelaces awesome. Well, this could be translated what's truly awesome, whatever's true, whatever's so noble that it inspires awe. Think on those things. The next word, so true, noble, next word is right. The Greek word is dikaia, or similar to dikaios, meaning justice. Translated here as right, to do the right thing, the fair thing, the just thing. This is a word that means to carry one's responsibility, to fulfill one's duty. So we have truthfulness. We have nobility in sort of an awesome, awe-inspiring way. And we have right, righteousness. We have justice, fairness, here in these first three words. Let's keep going with the list. Pure, whatever is pure. Now, this includes actions. It includes motives. It includes that interior life. Whatever is pure, set your eyes on that. I think we probably, if we're honest, we live in a world in which we see a lot of impure things. We encounter impure things on the internet, impure things everywhere we look. Paul's saying, focus your minds on that which is pure. Next word, lovely. This word has always confused me. We're supposed to think about pretty things. You know, sometimes I think, well, is that in contrast with the pure thoughts? But no. What this word means is things that are evoking of love. So when it says lovely there, what it means is that the sorts of things that that stoke love within us, admiration, rather than hostility. So we can think about certain content, certain things we could put our mind on, making us more angry, more bitter, more in a rage. Or other things that we see and we like, and we're drawn to them. We're like, wow, that is, my heart comes alive with true admiration and love for that thing. That is what it means by lovely. Finally, admirable, it's similar to the others. It's winsome, it's graciousness. You know, this is behavior which evokes, you know, our respect. The language then changes to from whatever now to if anything, if you see anything that is excellent. That word is used in the classic Greek philosophical sense from Stoic philosophy of moral excellence. If you see something like, you know, that is well done and with good moral form. If anything is praiseworthy, right? Desiring or that it evokes, it's worthy of our praise. So here's a list for us. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. You put it together and it becomes a new content filter for us. Do you know what a content filter is? You know, I have on my settings for Google and for YouTube, there's a little button you check, and it's like filter out explicit content. And I'm grateful we have that because there's so much awful, you know, pornography and graphic violence and things that just fill the internet that if we didn't have these explicit content filters, it would just be bombarding us at all times. But you know, those content filters let a lot of junk through. And so we all have to constantly, in our current life, be content filters. We're always thinking, well, you know, should I watch that? Should I not watch that? And I think the standard that we use is, well, just how bad is it? Just how bad is this movie? Just how bad is this thing going to be? Is it just kind of regular bad, which I'll tolerate, or like really bad, which I might consider not watching? We do this for our kids, you know, with our kids for books and for movies. We always look to common sense media that gives us kind of a rundown of what's going to be in that show and if it's appropriate for kids our age. And so all of us do a lot of work, whether it's conscious or subconscious, in terms of content filtering. But I think that usually we think, just how bad is this? Well, here Paul gives us an entirely different content filter for our lives, and it's this. How about instead of thinking, how bad is this, we think, how good is it? And he gives us these words to think about. Is it pure? Or sorry, is it true, truthful? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Does it evoke love? Is it admirable? Is it excellent and praiseworthy? That's a pretty high standard. It's a much higher standard. And it's an active, positive standard. We're looking for great content that we can soak our minds in. Now, I'd like to ask you to think for a minute, how different would your internal life be? How different would your internal, your heart and your mind be if you're actively seeking out that level of engagement and focusing your mind with rapt attention on good things? That's verse 8. We see two pivots from verse 8 to verse 9, which is actually sort of part of the same sentence in the Greek. And it pivots in two ways. The first way that it pivots is it moves from thoughts to actions. The point of having a renovation of our internal life, of our minds, is that it also has a renovation of our exterior life, our actions. We're taught that trashy, low-bar, crude, rude thoughts lead to trashy, low-bar, crude, rude actions. Similarly, noble, pure, and truthful thoughts lead to noble, pure, and truthful actions. The goal of refocusing our thoughts is to refocus our lives. And so that's one pivot from 8 to 9, is from thoughts to actions. The other pivot is it goes from these kind of abstract virtues to a concrete personal example. Let's read verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received from me, or heard in me, or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What an amazing thing to say, to be able to say, whatever you have seen from my example or you've received from me, do that. I think that's a pretty amazing thing to be able to say, because I have some experience in parenthood of having to tell my kids, don't do what you saw me do, don't say what you heard me say. About 4 years ago, I was driving with my family. I say it like it's only happened once, but this one particular time, 4 years ago, I'm driving with my family on the freeway, and I'm driving, and I missed the exit, and it was an exit I did not want to miss. I was absolutely desiring to make that exit, and I missed it, and a word popped out of my mouth. I said, oh, and then there was this word that popped out. It's not fit for church, certainly not fit for a parent with kids in the back seat, not fit on the lips of a pastor, but hey, it came popping out of my lips. I said this word, and not 3 seconds later, my sweet daughter Abigail, who was 3 years old at the time and just has a smile that lights out the room, she repeats it. She just says it. She goes, oh, and she just said that word. And I'm like, no, because I know that right next to me, my wife has got dagger eyes, like looking at me like, oh my gosh. And she's like, great, I'm going to end up in a parent-teacher conference at her preschool, which, by the way, is affiliated with a church that you're pastoring, and they're going to talk to me about why is my 3-year-old daughter using foul language. I'm going to say, well, it's your foul-mouthed dad pastor. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? And I have to then have a conversation with my daughter and all my kids, and guys, listen. Don't do what you saw me do. Don't say what you heard me say. So wouldn't it be amazing to be able to say like Paul, do what I do, say what I say? Wouldn't that be great? I think that we all who are parents or maybe have worked with young people, we know that our example is the most powerful teaching tool that we have. People will follow more what we do than anything we try intentionally to teach them. So whether we're talking about kids or friends, employees or neighbors, people watch, and sometimes they imitate. So what an amazing thing that Paul could, in this moment, say, remember, he's writing this from prison. He's writing this to what are essentially his spiritual children. He doesn't know if he's going to see them again. He's on trial for his life, and he's able at the end of his life to say, do what I did. Say what I said. Follow my example. Oh, I want to live like that. I want to live my life like that. That at the end of my journey, I can look back and tell you and tell my kids and tell my friends and my neighbors and everyone around me. As they're saying goodbye to me at the end of my life, I want to be able to say, do it like that. Live like that. Run the race like I did. What a What a thing to aspire to. Specifically, he says a few things about his example. First, whatever you have learned or received from me. Here he's speaking about what he's actually like sort of tossed and taught them and passed down to them about Jesus Christ, about faith in Christ. That second word, received, I want to draw your attention to. Whatever you have received from me, that is a technical term here about the receiving of a tradition and the passing of it on. A couple of examples of this in Scripture. Moses received the law from God and then entrusted it on to Joshua and the elders for the future. We see it in 1 Corinthians 15:3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Right? Like, Paul received the nuts and bolts of the gospel, and he did everything he could in life to pass what he received on to others. Right? He saw himself as a link in the chain. Right? He didn't invent the gospel was given to him. He received it. And it was of utmost importance to him that he pass it on, that he become a link in the chain. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that you are not the last link in the chain. The gospel has been passed from generation to generation to generation to generation. It's crossed oceans, it's crossed national barriers, geographic barriers, language barriers, cultural barriers, certainly generational barriers to come to you. But you are not the final link in the chain. You will live a life that will be an example for others. You will teach, you will pass on what you've received to others. From the beginning of the church, one of our primary missions has always been to be missionaries to the next generation. Every one of you who is a Christian, whether you like it or not, is a missionary to the next generation. It is of utmost importance that what you have received, you pass on to others. We do that through our teaching, we do it through our example, we do it through our love. And he passes, this is the moment of kind of passing the generational torch. He says, what I received, I passed on to you. Now you do, so that you can pass it on to others. Of absolute, utmost importance. Doesn't just pass on the knowledge of the gospel, also how it is applied in a life. What you heard from me, what you heard about me, what you saw me do, that's what it means for the gospel to transform a life and to live a life of a Christian. And so we've also passed on the incarnated gospel into our lives. I hope and I pray that I can do this with my children. I hope and I pray that I can do this with you. I hope and pray that you become disciples who make disciples, that you embody, receive the gospel in such a way, that you receive the word of God in such a way that it transforms your life, that you focus on what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. It saturates your mind, it transforms your actions so that you can say to the next generation, whatever you have learned or received from me or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then this promise comes to you and to your children and to their children that the God of peace will be with you. Earlier in this book, we saw that it said, the peace of God will be with you. The shalom of God will be with you. The shalom of God will guard you. But here it's fascinating. It reverses it. It's not just the peace of God. It is the God himself who will be with you at your side. The God himself who's defined by peace, who's described, a name of God, is the God of peace. He is going to stand by your side. And this is really where we get to the good news. Our faith in Jesus Christ, our discipleship, is not about our own moral effort. It's not about us just willing ourselves into truth and nobility and righteousness. It is a gift from God. It is the promise of the presence of the God of peace walking with us, the blood of Christ covering us, the Holy Spirit empowering us, such that we can, from the inside out, by the power of God, be transformed into the sort of people that focus on truth, nobility, righteousness, purity, loveliness, and things which are admirable, that we may be an example and a blessing, that our missionary enterprise to future generations would be spectacularly successful, and that future generations would know and believe our Lord Jesus Christ and one day dance with us in heaven. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much that next week many of us will be able to gather together in this space, and then we long for the day, one day, when everyone who's hearing this will be able to join as well. We long for that day. We ask you to speed its coming. For now, God, work in us, soak us in good things, bring your spirit to us, O God, and may we give honor and praise with our lives to you, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's great to be with you. I want to remind you to stay with us. We're going to have a closing song. We'll have a closing discussion. And then I will come back on to walk us through the reopening plan and some other exciting things. Let's enjoy the closing song.
What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seek and you will find. Joy still comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming, there's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing, praise the Lord. The years roll by, we wonder why we lost our way from home. Our father finds the child inside, we left for growing old. Awake, awake, awake my soul. Joy still comes in the morning, hope still good news with repeating. So lift your head and keep singing, praise the Lord. Let everything, let everything praise the Lord. Let everything, let everything praise the Lord. In the working, in the waiting, let it praise. With the hurting, if you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming, there's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing, praise the Lord. Joy still comes in the morning, hope still walks with the hurting. You're still alive and breathing. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh my gosh, I cannot tell you how excited I am next week to be in this room with you and just to hear your voices. We have had good times as a staff, but oh my gosh, we just so long for not just to be us in this room. We want you here. Those of you who are able and feel comfortable this time, we would love to have you here next week. I'm going to do the benediction now, but I want to remind you that after our post-service discussion with Ashley and Brandon, I'm going to come back on along with a series of other staff members and walk through with you in more detail the reopening plan and a lot of other things that are launching, really important information. So if we would just love to have you stay to the end and join us for that. Now hear the benediction. Our Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life for you. And his is the victory. His blood, which washes you clean of every impurity, all unnoble things, all untruthful things, all things which are not praiseworthy about your life and your past and your heart and your mind, the Lord Jesus washes it all away. And as you accept Jesus, oh, may the Holy Spirit come to you and wash you and rejuvenate you and rebuild your mind. May he guard, may the peace of God guard your interior life. And may the God of peace be with you now and forever. God bless you.
This is it.
It's our final
our final goodbye. It was a great sermon. I already feel like there's a little bit of a whisper of we're back.
There's just a renewed energy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel it. Like, I'm so excited for next week, for
me
sure.
Too.
But yeah, it was just a great message. Yeah.
Yeah. Even thinking about just reading that scripture and reading those words of like whatever is true and noble and pure and lovely, like even just reading them makes me feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved like the filter instead of thinking how bad is it? Because how many of us have actually done that when we're doing our natural filter throughout? Like, I know I'm guilty of that, thinking, how bad is it? Like, is it on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, is this a 1 where I can get instead of asking that, what about how good is it?
Hmm.
And that was great. But then I think something that really hit me was just he said something around along the lines of, you're not the final link in the chain of this message that's been brought through generation.
Yeah.
Through generations. And so for me, I use that a lot. I think about that a lot, and not necessarily those words.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about that a lot in my own life when I feel stagnant in my faith, when I feel like I'm just blending in with the world and just and not thinking. Like, for me, I often, what remotivates me is thinking about the message of the gospel being passed down from generation to generation. Thinking of those original followers of Jesus taking that message basically to the point of death, sacrificing their lives to carry that on. And then then you go to the early church fathers and all of the followers of Jesus that sacrificed everything so that I could have that message.
Yeah.
And then I think that is a great responsibility to have. We're now the messengers of that message that was passed down for us. And what sacrifice am I going to be willing to make so that that 1,000 years from now, somebody who needs the message of Jesus can get it? And that's just such huge responsibility, and it's a motivating factor for me when I think back to that. And so I love the way he put it, because I often think of that, but not in those words. And so to me, that was just a huge all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Especially because we work with the next generation too.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We we see the importance of it, and we see it in the lives of the students that we work with all the time.
For sure.
Yeah. For me, I think that in this current season, even if the only things that I were thinking about was COVID and the election, if that's it still feels really easy to not think about that list, right?
Yeah.
It feels really easy to think about things that stir up the opposite of love. It feels easy to think about things that are not noble or admirable because it doesn't feel like there are super noble and admirable things happening in the world as like a default right now in the conversation. Listening to Matt, thinking about not only do we get the peace of God, but we get the God of peace. And so I guess like my encouragement and a little bit of a takeaway from my time away was like maybe if this feels really heavy and hard for you in this season, in your personal internal world, is to reacquaint yourself with the God of peace and just like take some time away and take some deep breaths and be with God. And maybe that's like closing your bathroom door away from your toddler children and like taking some deep breaths and bringing your Bible and like maybe that's your time away. But something to like the power of being reacquainted with the God of peace, with taking deep breaths and being like, God is with us. Like the God of peace is with us. And yes, he's in control. And yes, he is good despite everything that is going on. And all of that is true. But like taking the God that is this big to and remembering that like, yes, he's still that big, but he also wants to be with you. It's and he personal. Wants to be the God of peace yeah. with you. And that's personal. Like, I think that can help shift that internal world as well and bring you back to like whatever is lovely and true and noble and good isn't just out here, it's also in here because the God of peace is with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's just something so important to hear.
Yeah, it's such a gift.
It is.
Yeah.
And we are just blessed to know that gift. And
yeah, be yeah. recipients of it.
Yes, for sure. So,
well,
you know, for the final time.
The final time, Brandon and I, we're going to sign off and we're going to welcome up Matt and Rob to kind of tell you guys a little bit about what's happening next week with reopening and everything. But signing off.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Ashleen. Stay classy.
Can everybody just give them a round of applause from your house? I am just, Ashley and Brandon, you guys really rose to the challenge these weeks and really added a lot to our services. So guys, we're so grateful for you. Everyone, if you haven't met Rob yet, Rob Kasten, so great to have you here,
it's great to be here.
With us. So Rob is our new executive pastor here. I could not be more thrilled to have you. So,
and I came right at a great time. We're getting ready to reopen.
Yeah,
next
I mean,
week.
Look, like you show up. Next thing, we're open. I mean,
it's happening.
You, good job. Good job to you. Okay, so everyone, thank you for all of you who stuck around. Consider this like a 10-minute congregational meeting after church. There's so many things to communicate that I want to just take time to walk you through each piece, and I'll do a piece at a time. With a different guest for each item. And so you'll get to hear from a number of staff members. So, again, so excited about next week. So, if you didn't hear earlier, next week, at long last, after 5.5 months, we will finally be able to have in-person worship here in this space. And we just could not be more excited about it. So that's going to be starting next week in the morning. It's going to be 8:30 for the traditional service, and then 11 o'clock for the contemporary service. Now, I'm going to ask Rob a series of questions, and he's new, but he's dived right in, so just to help you understand what we're doing and also why we're doing it. So first of all, Rob, why are the service times different? What's up? People like 9 and 10:30. Why are we doing 8:30 and 11?
Sure. Well, we needed to be able to have a little bit of time in between, more time than normal, to get the sanctuary cleaned, to get the pews wiped down, all of that. So the time between services is increased so we can make it safe for everyone to attend.
Yeah, yeah, a temporary thing. Temporary. We're not committed to that time forever, just in this period while we have these safety measures in place. Okay, Rob, a lot of people, we did a survey recently, and you know, maybe about a third of the people said, hey, I'm ready to come back right now. Another 20-something percent said, well, depending on the safety measures that we have in place. Others said, well, depending on the safety measures and coronavirus. So there's a lot of people in our congregation that are waiting to see how things shake out. And one of the things they really want to know is, what are we doing to keep them safe if they come to church? So we want to take a minute to explain some of these safety measures. For those of you who are at home, this will help you inform. And again, we respect your decision. Either way, do you want to continue on live stream or come? But just to let you know what we're going to be doing. So can you walk us through some of those safety measures?
Well, we've had a team of medical professionals from the congregation give us counsel to help us know how to proceed with this. There's way more detail available in a letter and the policies, procedures that's going to be coming out in the mail. And it's already on our website, so you can go and check that out, read it in detail. But a few of the measures that will be in place beginning next week, one is a screening before people actually get to the building for temperature checks. It's very similar to what you probably experienced in restaurants, other places. As you walk up, it's touchless. They'll just screen your temperature, and then you'll be able to proceed into the service.
And you did this. You did touchless.
Yeah, it's not an actual yeah. weapon, but
real fast. It doesn't even touch
looks like
you.
A Star Trek device.
It just takes your temperature.
Like that. That's right.
Yeah.
And then
now,
masks.
Now, what happens if someone has a temperature? If they got 102, what happens?
Then they'll be asked to maybe go home and see it on the live live stream.
Yeah.
So it's just a safeguard. You're probably already aware, but it's a safeguard for everyone else to know if you've got a temperature or not. Then masks are required. I've got mine ready, so I can let you know where to get a Tennessee mask if you'd like one.
I don't think that's going to be a big
seller. I think you've got a Niners mask.
I do have 49er masks, but I haven't been able to sell any of them.
Oh, no. I'm sure those are...
So masks are required,
yes.
And some people want to know, well, are they required or are they required? Is it a wink, nod, nod kind of thing?
No. This is required, and we really ask you to honor that. We will have a limited supply if you forget yours. But we do ask you have a mask when you enter the building.
Now, some of you might think, why do we have to do masks? Some churches, you know, don't do masks. Well, we are trying to do the best decision that we can. We are listening to the wise and godly counsel from our own medical professionals. Also, we know from survey and many conversations that more people come, more of our church will feel safe and comfortable coming if people are respecting the mask rule. They will feel more at ease. And so please just understand it as an act of love for other people when you wear your mask. So
then I would say the other thing to note is just social distancing as you're walking in the facility. It'll be like coming home, but you'll also need to just space out. Sometimes I forget when I'm in a store or in line. I'll get a little too close, but just try to remember that as you're making your way down aisles, walking in the lobby, heading towards a restroom, all of those things, just keep that in mind. And then we're seating every other pew will be marked off, so you'll be able to know which pews are available for seating. And then as you're entering the pew, leave room as you don't slide up next to somebody that's not your family.
Yeah. It's going to be like say, every other pew, like odd pews for one service, even for the other. Now, here's the thing. Some of you have a favorite pew here, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go early and take my favorite pew. Well, here's the problem. If you come early and you sit on the end of the pew, people have to climb over you. So it's not going to work like that for now. You're going to come, and you can go to the next available, space. So, again, the doors, I think, open 30 minutes before each service, so you can start arriving then. We do have a seating capacity of 160. We have overflow space, so I don't expect this to be a problem, at first. But if it is, we have like the lobby, we have choir room, we have a number of places set up for overflow space. It should the need arise.
And if you would like to help, we still are looking for some volunteers for screening, for cleaning between services, and for serving as ushers or greeters. Or in a couple of weeks. Helping with children's ministry.
Yeah, volunteers, this is a big deal for us. Please, anyone that is hearing this, the job of doing church is not a pastor's job. Our job actually is, in Scripture, is to equip the saints, which is you, believe it or not, for works of ministry. So we need to equip you and empower you to do ministry, and boy, we need you now. A lot of volunteers are not quite feeling ready, not quite feeling safe yet to do this. So we actually need more volunteers than we've ever needed at a time in which many volunteers are not quite feeling ready to do that. And so if you feel able to come, please let us know. We really could use your help in a lot of different ways.
And there's more information, again, on the website if you click on that information tab.
Live stream is continuing. But it's going to be different. We've done a 10 o'clock service, kind of built on a set that we did in a corner of the sanctuary. It's going to be different now. Now we're going to be live streaming the in-person services. That means we have now two different live streams starting next week. Instead of a 10 a.m. one where we have it all together, it's going to be the 8:30 traditional service is on at that time. And then the 11 o'clock contemporary service is live streamed at that time as well. So you now have four morning options, and then the evening option remains. So there's actually, next week, there's like five worship services, in a sense, I mean, so to speak. Five different ways to engage. And remind you, Rosa Hurd, God bless you, Rosa, retiring. So we're going to celebrate her at the evening service. We'll acknowledge her also and have her here for the morning, but we'll really have a special thing for her at the evening service. And so if you want to come on out, give her some love next Sunday night. So just to let you know, all those things happening. Rob, thank you. Jen is going to join me next. Thank you so much. Guys, we are so blessed to have Rob. Cannot tell you just how valuable he is. Jen, hey, hello. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Jen, there's so many things that you want to tell us about Next Gen. We were a little bit more rushed earlier in the service. Tell us about, what do we need to know about kids and our Next Gen, all of that.
There is so much that you can imagine.
Everyone, don't leave just because you don't have kids. There's more things that apply to you later.
If you
please,
don't
nobody
have
tune
kids,
out yet.
It's even more important
okay,
to listen.
Okay, so stay with us. Okay.
Yes. As you can imagine, we are doing all kinds of planning right now for students, middle school and high school, and our kids ministry. And coming back, it's going to take even more volunteers than we've ever had because we know that we need to keep kids in smaller groups. So that'll mean smaller group sizes, smaller rooms, more leaders needed. So there's a lot of ways that you can volunteer, whether you're working with our student ministry or Sunday morning kids ministry. Sunday mornings, we need people to help with check-in stations. We're going to do check-in that we've never done before. Yeah. That was a plan way before the pandemic. But we will have check-in stations now for all grades up to fifth grade. That'll be out in our courtyard area. We need people that will help before each service, checking in kids, taking temperatures, making sure they get straight into the rooms that they need to be in for the right groups. We need people to be small group leaders, shepherding kids, investing in lives, learning who they are and their families. That will be happening during both services. So we need people who are willing to come and sit in a service and then serve a service. Yeah. So if you are comfortable coming back, we really need you in so many different ways around the church to make this happen for people. And we also know that we have a lot of people that will be home that aren't comfortable and ready to come back. And we are going to be this fall putting together monthly activity boxes for families. And we need a bunch of volunteers that can drop those off. So that's actually an event that I wanted to talk about. Yeah. So if you do have kids, all ages up to fifth grade, birth through fifth grade, next Saturday we're doing a drive-through pickup for boxes. They look like pizza
so
boxes,
fun.
But they will not have pizza in them. But block party is our September theme. So if you have elementary kids, you'll get a block party box. If you have preschool age kids, it's ice cream sundae. Your box will say ice cream sundae. And inside, we will have an activity every week of the month for parents to do with their kids at home. And it will go along with what we'll be doing here on Sunday mornings, what you can watch in our Kids Sunday Experience video. So just another additional way that we can partner with parents to grow faith at home. And that was something in the survey that we got back from a week ago that most families checked, was that they would like more resources of things to do at home. And this is a way that we can give them that gift. So I'm excited about it.
I got to tell you, I have been amazed with this whole thing at the creativity of our Next Gen team. The things that you guys have come up with and invested in a way to love on kids through this. And, I know from my experience at home, this is a hard time for kids. Super hard, disruptive mm-hmm. time for kids. And you just find all these creative ways to love on them. So thank you for that.
Yes. So come block party. It's next Saturday from 3 to 4:30. It'll be on this campus, our Loretta Road campus. And if you know that you can come, you think you can come, if you could email me, that would be great to have an RSVP because we will have something yummy that we are also giving out. There'll be some games families can do from their cars, cool. Some snacks they can pick up if they come to pick these up in person. Yeah. And if you miss it, that's okay. Someone will drop this off at your house.
But it's easier for us if they come.
It would be much easier if you come. Yeah. So that's the incentive. Yeah. You will get something yummy if you come 3 to 4:30.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the block party. I want to just rewind quickly to the volunteer piece. Mm-hmm. Some people at home might be wondering, well, I can't volunteer every week because sometimes I have conflict. If I volunteer, does it have to be every week?
Well, we have teams of people, so there's more than one person with a group. Mm-hmm. And for our group leaders, the group leaders that are actually in rooms with kids, consistency is important because you're building relationships. Sure. We know people have vacation times or have to be out of town for work, but in general, we need people who can be consistent for those small groups. But we need subs. So there's been some people that said, you know, I can't commit to every week, but I'll sub in when I'm here. So sure. That's a great need. So that could be a when you're available job, as well as the check-in volunteers and drop-off stuff. That's more the weeks that you can do it.
Okay,
so
last
ways.
Question
yes.
for you. The check-in team, you could check in and then still attend the worship service?
Absolutely, because that
okay,
all happens
perfect.
Prior
okay.
to the service.
Okay,
yes.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, Jen. I want to invite
thank
up Bill. Our next contestant, Bill, come on down. Oh, that's the price is right, Bill. Bill, there's something exciting that we've got. We've been planning for a long time called what?
The hymn sing.
Oh, my gosh. Traditional music, folks. This one, I think you guys are going to love. Tell us about it.
So on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to be presenting a hymn sing, and I can't think of a better way to kick off the traditional service than with an evening of all the traditional hymns that we really haven't been hearing much over this pandemic.
Yeah.
And I found an interesting fact when we were doing some background information on the hymns. The man that wrote I Surrender All taught art class at Sharon High School in Sharon, Pennsylvania, where my dad went to. Course he wasn't there in 1855
okay.
but so that was a neat fact.
Yeah, that's interesting. Small world. So we'll have a number of things like the story behind the hymns and all of that. It'll just be a great evening this Wednesday
at 7 o'clock.
Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And the way to experience it is just like you're experiencing now on the website or on Facebook live stream. You'll get to do that, and so we're grateful. We have all kinds of different
there's about 10
church.
Singers, and the MPC trio will be there, one or two solos, so it'll be a nice variety.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so while you're here, and so hymn sing, we're so excited. Everyone join us for that. Let's talk a little about the worship services as they start up. Instead of just having kind of one service, now we have two. So we have an 8:30 traditional service. That's going to be great to be able to have that again.
Yes. You'll hear the organ again,
wow.
And so it's been a long time for that. And then we'll have a group that will be leading our hymns. And the one maybe good thing about masks is you have to sing really loud
okay.
if you're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
So really sing out so we can all hear each other again.
Yeah. Now, we all look forward to the day when we can have the full choir again.
Yes.
We're not quite there yet with where COVID is at. But we look forward to the day where we get our wonderful choir back together again. But we'll have samples of it, representatives
correct.
Of
yes.
it in smaller pieces, and we'll just do everything we can for now. And then we have contemporary worship at 11, and some people love the word contemporary, some people love the word modern. You saw that in the survey. As you come back, you're going to see some shifts, particularly in ambiance. We got some cool decorations here and some different lighting, and so you'll have when you come back, you'll see just a little bit of a different feel in terms of the lighting and the
ambiance. But which will not be here for the traditional service.
We'll not be here for the traditional service. We're going to be building another team of people to do a set change, so it can be very traditional for traditional service, very modern, you know, for our contemporary worship as well. And so that's a lot of new stuff
yes.
happening, but it's fun, right?
Yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to switch you off for Chris.
All right.
Chris, I need you. I'm bushwhacking you with the spotlight. He's finishing his guy in the middle of a live. Hey, Chris Conker, come on down. I don't think he knew that I was going to call him up. Chris.
I'm ready, though.
I need you for the Wise Up piece.
Sure.
Tell me about that. We are launching a new sermon series starting September. What's it called?
Wise Up.
Why is it called Wise Up? What's the deal with that name?
Well, the Proverbs are filled with so much wisdom about living in God's world, and where we can really look around at the world that we live in,
yeah.
at the animals around us, at just the things we notice every day about this world, that those things teach us about living with God and making decisions that or with
a
his
great
plan.
Example of looking at the animals. I love the one that says, "Look to the ant, you sluggard."
Yeah.
just great. And I think it's going to be just so important for us to look. We'll start off with comparisons between wisdom and folly, those competing voices in our life, and then dive into concrete topics like what is this, the problems? How do they guide us in our relationships, with our anger, with our resources, and business ethics? Just these different kind of categories. Mm-hmm. Now, there's small group materials that's being made for it as well.
That is correct. Yeah, we are making a small group curriculum that will accompany the sermon series that will be available online, and we'll also have printout versions of that.
It's been a fun thing for our church to have. Sometimes we don't do it every series, but sometimes to have small group material that just matches and syncs up with what we're doing, the worship services. So we hope that many of your small groups will choose to do that this go-around and just spend these 10 weeks soaking up God's wisdom together. Those will also be made available soon. But you can talk to your small group about them now. So that's what's going on. Please feel free to call, email with any questions or whatever. And we just can't wait for the return, for Welcome Back Sunday next week. So God bless you all.